Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you so very much for your love for each of us. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown us what it means to love and has shown us and given us grace and peace to live that out each day. Though we don't get it perfect, Lord, you're still there with us and we praise you for that. And we see that display of love and peace in this moment, for you share with us your word. Not leaving us to the dark all by ourselves, but guiding us by your light. May we go where you lead us, and may we rejoice as we travel along the path. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My sister once posted on Facebook a while back, and she was reflecting on her morning activities. How many of you have a cell phone? Cell phone? Cell phone users? How many of you charge your cell phone every night before you go to bed? And that cell phone is right next to you when you wake up in the morning. How many of you charge your cell phones right next to you? Huh? I got some that don't do that. It's good. How many of you, when you wake up in the morning, first thing you do is reach over and grab your cell phone? I do it too. How many of you then have at least two sites, two places that you look every morning? Instagram and CNN. Those are mine. Every morning. Instagram and CNN. As soon as I wake up in the morning, I roll over Instagram and CNN. Our phones, we go to quite often. And there are these videos when we look at Snapchat. They're in Snapchat a lot. And you'll find them in on Facebook. And YouTube has like compilations of them. They are those videos. Trying to think of the name. How would you categorize them? The Karma Strikes Back videos. You know what I'm talking about? When people do bad things and immediately something bad happens to them, right? Like this one. There are these people lining up in a grocery store, a little convenience store. And there was a guy who looked sick or drunk, and he was in the back of the line. He was stumbling around, and this one guy was super mean to him. You guys know which one I'm talking about? Super mean to him. He pushed him into the vending machine and was harassing him. And then this little woman, like this, real small woman, petite woman, came up and clocked the guy right in the face that was harassing the drunk. I mean, like, he felt she knocked him out. One punch was amazing, right? And I cheered, yeah. Or the other video, guy in a pickup truck. He was harassing this one woman, but behind him, honking, laying on his horn. You know, we've all experienced those drivers before. And he comes flying up beside her in the passing lane and tells her she's number one in his own unique way, and then zips off in front of her and cuts in front of her real quick and quickly loses control of the truck. And the truck spins out and it flips over on its side. Yeah, we're all cheering. We live in a culture that cheers and is excited when bad things happen to people who we think deserve it. And we have whole videos based on this one thing. They're so popular and they're so, I hate to say it, enjoyable to watch. But I'm not sure how much Jesus would approve of these videos. I don't know if Jesus would be sitting next to us and looking at this guy flipping the truck and thinking, yeah, he got what he deserved. It doesn't seem to me that the Jesus who died on the cross for the people and said, looking at everyone cheering at the fact that he was dying on the cross, said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure if that Jesus would like the culture of retribution that we celebrate. In fact, our scripture today, we've heard this scripture before many times and preached on before many times, celebrates the bad person that has found forgiveness. The person who deserves eternal damnation and all the bad things happen to them, find peace and joy and contentment. We are part of a religion, a following through Jesus Christ that celebrates the person that gets off scot-free, though they deserve not to. Because we were that person. We deserve to get the bad things happen just because of the bad things that we've done, because of the times that we've messed up. But how many times in our own lives have we experienced grace and mercy? And we know that we have not deserved it, that we deserve the exact opposite of that. But through God's love, we understood what love undeserved feels like and looks like. God's own self celebrates when the sinner repents and comes in the presence of God. One of my favorite illustrations of God, I know that I've shared this before, and I'll probably share it for many, many years to come, is the story is more of a parable, but it's not one of Jesus' parables that I've heard years ago, which was there was a judge who was presiding over a traffic case of a woman who had many delinquent fines that she hadn't paid yet, and she was looking at jail time, not much, like a week or so. And she came before the judge and she said to the judge, I'm sorry. She says, I deserve this. She says, I did wrong. I let these fines go to the delinquent. I don't have money. She brought proof of her expenses and her budget and everything. She says, I can't pay it. She says, I know I have to. She says, but I can't. If I go to jail, what's going to happen to my kids? She says, I don't know what to do. And the judge presiding over the case saw this happening and got up off of his seat and walked back behind his chair where his coat rack hung. And he took off his robe and he hung the robe up on the coat rack, and he grabbed his jacket that he walked in and he put the jacket on. And he came down right front where the woman was standing, and he reached in his back pocket and he grabbed the wallet and he took out $200 and he laid it on the table. Put his wallet back in, walked back behind to the coat rack, took off his jacket, hung it up, took down the robe, put it back on, sat down in the chair, looked at the woman and said, I see your fine has been paid. You're free to go. That's Jesus. She didn't deserve it. She could have got exactly what she deserved, and justice would have been done. And someone would have celebrated. But Christ looks for redemption, looks for forgiveness, looks to want to show us the love that we don't deserve in our lives. Now, if that were the end of the story, it would be nice. We could be done. We could celebrate and be challenged to not rejoice when people get what we feel they deserve. And that would be a challenging thing to keep in our mind because it's a hard thing to kick. But it doesn't end there. You see, Jesus told this parable for a very important and very specific reason. Jesus was teaching and preaching in the synagogues, and the Pharisees and the scribes said, this man hangs out with undesirables. This man hangs out with the Pharisees, or hangs out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, hangs out with the bad crowd. And Jesus told the parable. I think that is a direct challenge for us too. Sometimes we're so careful to surround ourselves by those people that make us comfortable. And we don't oftentimes break out of our circles, out of that comfort zone. I am one of the worst offenders of this. My home, and I told my home is my safe place. If anyone enters my house that I don't think is a normal part of my life, meaning my wife, my kids, and Declan, if someone comes in at home, my internal timer starts ticking down. You have 3 hours to hang out with me, and then you got to go, because this is my house. Now, my wife over the years has gotten the timer up to five hours. I'm doing better. But this is what God's challenging us to do. To not just find comfort in those that we are comfortable with, but find comfort in the Holy Spirit so that we can be challenged to hang out with those that we're not comfortable with, that we're not used to hanging out with. Why? In order to show God's love. In order to have opportunity for forgiveness. In order to show peace, acceptance, and a quality life to those around us. In order that they may find mercy. This is the challenge. And I pray that as we encounter new people in our lives throughout this week, that we show each person the dignity, love, and respect that God has shown us for the very fact that God created us. And I pray that we show that to others so that they may know Christ in their own life. I thank God for those opportunities we'll face, and pray that we delight the Lord in our reaction. I thank God for that.